offering humble pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, we are here to go through Swami's discourses. The discourses he gave as part of the 1990 Samukos series. We completed the 12th discourse last week. I had the company of Brother Hari Shankar from the Satya Sai Central Trust. And today, Satprakash is back with me. We're going to host this program and we are going to the 13th discourse in that series. The discourse we completed was on self-knowledge. Swami spoke the past two discourses, I think, Satprakash. One was on self-knowledge and the other was knowing thyself.
Right.
Right. And now Swami is saying the topic for this discourse is what is freedom? The question itself is quite an intriguing one.
That's right. And for the fortunate two of us who have already gone through the discourse, we can only promise the listeners that there is something very, very exciting right. coming up.
We should promise and make a confession that the discourse is exciting. We're not too sure about the discussion which will follow that.
That's true.
Because it's an external look at it itself says that this is going to be really a profound one. But it's a very important topic in that sense, what is freedom, because much is being spoken about in civil society about freedom of speech. You know, that's such a high talking point.
That's true, but you know, looking at the flow in which Swami has been coming in this series of discourses, I was just thinking, why did Swami place this chapter here? What is freedom? I mean, all the while Swami has been teaching us what you are not. You are not the body, you are not the senses, you are not the mind, you are not the intellect, you are not ahamkara. Then he says, he comes to a point where he says even sadhana is useless. You don't have to do sadhana to acquire something. You have to only remove the illusion that is around you. And then you know your true identity. Now, he puts it here because do we have a choice? I mean, freedom automatically means that you have a choice of doing something or not doing something. You have the choice. Now, the whole question about freedom and free will is the choice in your hand. So, at this point where you have to actually remove the illusion, are you free to do it or are you bound by destiny when you will actually get that experience? So, I was just thinking about it and it comes to the same thing that God's will is always there, His grace is always there, and when you are at a state, that's why Swami always says, you be the container, you be ready to receive. So basically, when you are ready to understand the intricacies and to contemplate on the reality of existence, I think that is when God's grace, which is always there, will shine forth through you.
And one other thing, you look at the series as such, is that one thing which is following through from the first discourse is Swami is correcting the perspective.
Yeah.
You know, in the very first discourse, Swami spoke about how the truth, you know, when young men and women, when the youth adhere to truth and righteousness, that's the best seva you can do to your country.
Very true.
You know, when people are so obsessed, I wouldn't say obsessed, they're so keen to do good to the society. Swami is saying that, you know, the intention is good, but the path you're taking is not the absolute one, not the right one.
Correct.
So similarly, the other discourses, you know, when Swami spoke about the senses, when Swami spoke about the mind, it was all correcting the vision. Swami is saying that you misunderstood these things. You have to put them in the right perspective. And same thing about the gunas.
Yes.
What Swami spoke about the gunas was completely revealing one to all of us. Where Swami spoke of what is the nature. And again, here when Swami is, when Swami spoke about self-effort, when Swami spoke about choices, making choices, that is where even this is coming. You know, we are talking so much about freedom. You know, I should have the freedom to. The children are talking about wanting to have the freedom. You know, there was a time when the children get the freedom after they are 18. Okay. Now the children want freedom at 14, 15.
Okay.
So I think it's a very important discourse in that sense when Swami is talking about what is freedom.
Correct.
And what freedom should you look for? And are you really looking for that freedom?
Correct.
Is that freedom really there or is it like a mirage which you're chasing?
Yes, that's true. And one point before we move on to this, the previous discourse, of course I was not there for the last segment, but this point of redefining what is bhakti is very beautiful. He asks, what is bhakti? Bhakti is constant contemplation on the self. So when you are constantly contemplating on the self, that is bhakti. And that is exactly what Jnana Marga is also. So he says bhakti and jnana are the same, and the string that ties them together, the singular bond, is prema, that is love. And it's so beautiful, because you know, in another place, I think we have mentioned this before as well, Bhagavad Gita gives you karma marga, bhakti marga, jnana marga, and in fact it gives solutions to people of any walk of life. Anyone refers to Bhagavad Gita, he finds an answer in whatever level of understanding he is. But in Prema Vahini, in the book, he gives a very beautiful example. He says, karma, bhakti, jnana, all are one.
Mm-hmm.
There is no difference. He says, if you take a Mysore pak, and you say the taste of the Mysore pak is bhakti marga, and the height of the Mysore pak is jnana marga, and the shape of the Mysore pak is karma marga. So he says, when you put the Mysore pak on your tongue, the shape changes, the height changes, and the sweetness is felt. So he says, all the three are one and the same. All, you have to integrate all three. So this beautiful point about bhakti and jnana is also very relevant, because people think that I am Advaitin and I follow only one path towards my goal. But hasn't Shankaracharya written so many songs and stutis praising the Lord? It's all one and the same. That's what I would.
Right. Even the way Swami words some of his commands. I happened to go through where in conversations with Baba by John Hislop.
Yes.
At one place he asked Swami that, Swami, you say why here when I am here.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what is the real essence of that statement?
Mm-hmm.
He asked Swami. And Swami says, why fear when I am here?
Mm.
Swami said that I is that real self.
Oh.
Swami said, when you reach that state where you have full confidence in that higher self, you will know that when this self is guiding every action of mine, what am I supposed to fear?
Correct.
Why should I fear?
Mm.
So Swami said, you have to remind yourself that you are just the container of that higher I.
Correct.
And you should tell yourself there is nothing to fear, because that I is the one which is doing everything.
Correct.
And you know, that is the beauty of Swami. There is Advaita in Bhakti, there is Bhakti in Advaita. There is no way Swami will separate it and give it to you as two separate ones. Swami would say, Bhakti is not complete without that self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is tasteless without that Bhakti.
Mm. And here also again Swami says very beautifully the inner significance of Shraddha and Pinda, offering of Pinda to your forefathers. And he says, it's not the ball of rice that you're offering. This is an offering to the self, and you have to offer your own body. He says you have to offer your body and all the faculties and skills, and only then you are eligible for a higher understanding. That's what I would say. And then I think he ends the previous discourse with this beautiful explanation about Tungabhadra.
Right.
And he says how your body is called Tungabhadra. And he also says you should live up to your name. Tungabhadra is something which is very sacred. It's a great thing which is sacred. And he gives the example of Tyagaraja, how he lived up to his name as a king of renunciation. And how even when the king sent him a lot of riches, he politely refused it. He says, he prayed to the Lord, Nidhi Chala Sukama. Isharasa Nidhi Chala Sukama. So that was a beautiful way in which Swami concluded the previous discourse. But there is one line here which says, students, this is a golden opportunity. And so many elderly people and eminent people are sharing with you their experience and valuable information. But you should utilize this information for your transformation, which is possible only when you put into actual practice at least a few things out of the many things you have been hearing. I mean, with so much of love, Swami must have made this statement. Here is, you know, it's like Ganges flowing and we have a small container standing. How much can we actually take in it? If you really feel absolutely, you know, small in front of this ocean of knowledge. And Swami is just telling, start with following one of them. But the beauty in this, as we mentioned earlier, I think in the series sometime, Swami told one of the students, you have to follow any one of my sayings, any one of my teachings you take and follow, automatically everything else will join. So
right, like when Swami spoke in that discourse about the intellect, Swami said Shraddha is the most important, you know, that earnestness, the desire to reach something, a desire to please Swami. In all our cases it was you know, that is what is important. You might be doing the absolutely wrong thing, you know, that wonderful story which goes, I think you narrated it before, where that juggler goes in front of the deity and starts juggling. No, he's standing there in the temple in front of the deity and he's going on juggling, and the story goes, the deity appears in front of him and he says, what are you trying to do? He said, what stunts are you trying to do in front of me? And the Lord says that, don't you know that I am not moved by stunt devotion? You know, very profound words. He said, I'm not moved by stunt devotion. Don't you know why you're performing the stunt in front of me? And then the stunt man says, oh Lord, this is all I have. The stunt is all that I have. So I'm offering you the stunt devotion and seeking the real devotion from you.
Beautiful.
You know, that is all it is, you know, when you sit in a classroom and suppose the teacher is teaching some high-flowing concept. If you have lost first few parts of the concept, the whole class is a washout for you.
Correct.
But here in the 12th discourse, and it was the end of the 12th discourse, Swami saying, if you've been overwhelmed by whatever you've heard, forget it. Just pick up any one thing. Correct. And just show me that earnest desire to follow that one thing to please me. That is enough. I'll make sure that everything else comes your way.
But what you said is really true. You know, when physically Swami was around, we tried to do whatever we could and we tried to offer the best we had to Swami. And oftentimes we would get rebuked with the same words, stunt, this is all a stunt, this is stunt devotion, stunt, this is all part-time devotion and all that. But I think he just gives you time to, you know, contemplate and understand what true devotion is.
Right, in fact, another discourse which we played this morning, even in that Swami says, the importance is prioritizing. That when you slowly start giving more and more importance to God, Swami was talking about how to overcome attachment. He said the best way is to get attached to something which is more dear, more sublime.
Okay.
He says when you start doing the prioritization, when there are two things you prioritize, when there are three things you prioritize, eventually you will come to the state where your top priority is God. Top priority is to please Swami. Top priority is to find that unity with divinity. So that itself will let you overcome all the other attachments, all the other small things which pull you down.
And one thing, you know, was very strange, you know, in retrospect when I think of it. When you are doing for example, since I was involved in doing some artwork which would be offered to Swami, you know, constantly you're thinking only about Swami. Like, will Swami like this? Will Swami like this? I should do this properly so that Swami will like it. And I think more than the end result, more than the final painting or drawing that comes out, the whole process is what Swami looks at. Because I had a very beautiful experience. And this was for the sports meet in 1999. And we were in Vrindavan. And for some reason, the last minute we had decided that we will make a huge painting. And the painting was actually Gita Upadesham painting. And only two of us were doing it because it was an oil painting. And the size was something like 18 feet by 18 feet.
Okay.
It was massive. And we didn't have a place in Vrindavan where we could assemble the whole thing. So we were doing it in parts and then assembling parts and seeing whether it's
proportion is fine.
It was, I mean, it was an unbelievable thing, and only Swami has achieved it through us. But the whole time, you know, it was so tense and it was so intense also, and we were really giving more than what we had, giving our best and then doing the work. And the sports day it was displayed. And actually, when we came to Parthi, my father came and saw the painting. And he said, yeah, Gita Upadesham anybody can do. But what is unique about this? You are, when Swami is sitting here, you are identifying Swami with the person who has actually given the Gita.
Right.
So, in a very faint tone, we had painted an outline of Swami. You know, for in a very faint tone, in the clouds, merging with the cloud. And Swami immediately saw that from the stage. Mm-hmm. And he said, see, Swami is also standing there. So he is always looking at all the details. But the best part of the whole thing was, you know, after the sports meet was done, the painting was brought to the mandir and it was reassembled near the where we have the Om gate now.
Right,
and we have
right.
the Ram Lakshman Sita statues.
Right.
So way outside
the mobile hospital is parked.
Exactly.
Right.
So there the painting was assembled because it was quite a huge one. And Swami was standing on the veranda. And that time there was this Ganesh statue was not there in the center.
Okay. You know?
So from the veranda Swami had a direct view mm-hmm. to that painting. And Swami said, who are the boys who did this painting? And myself and the other boy were sitting quite close and warden sir told Swami, these two boys. Swami says, you need not tell me, I know. He says, all through the time they were doing the painting, they only thought was, will Swami be happy, will Swami be happy? And they had no other thought. And that alone is enough for me. And that has made me happy. Very beautiful. See, he is not looking at the end result. He is not looking at how the painting has come out. He is not looking at what you are going to achieve. That earnestness and that sincerity is actually during the process. In the process. Because the process itself leads you to. So, I just felt that.
I remember a similar interaction which happened with a student. Mm. For some reason, he was very upset with Swami. I think he wanted Swami to respond in a certain way and Swami was not responding.
Mm-hmm.
And he had done, you know, as typically we students would do, he had done a lot of other things, hoping that this would please Swami too, and Swami would come and do. But it was not happening and he was very angry with Swami. He was in tears.
Mm.
And that day, Swami came and asked him, he said, why are you angry with me?
Mm.
He said, Swami, you know why I'm angry.
Mm.
I mean, this anger is because I love you.
Mm.
This anger is because I really love you and I want something from you. I want to come near you and I'm not getting that.
Mm.
Then immediately Swami said something which was very profound. He said, this is not ordinary anger.
Mm.
Swami said, this is spiritual anger.
Mm.
And then Swami said, what is important when you get this anger is, you should make sure that this anger does not allow you to stop and go away. This anger should make you strive harder. Swami said, then this is good anger. You know, that is what Swami did. Sometimes he responded, like in your case, where he acknowledged that, yes, this was done for me.
Correct.
And in those places when that acknowledgement was not forthcoming,
yes,
it only meant that I need to step up, you know,
step
harder.
You are getting a promotion.
right. You know, this is not enough for this class anymore.
And one beautiful thing which one of the wardens was mentioning, like when Swami was upset with the students and keeping a distance and not talking to them, he said, Swami, please, Swami, students are really praying hard, Swami. They want you to speak to them, Swami, you should speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami said, oh, who is Karuna Sagara? You are Karuna Sagara or I am Karuna Sagara? Do you know the, you seem to be knowing your students better than what I know. I know how much they are pining for me and I know when to give them the reward. So, really speaking, we had no freedom.
Right. I mean, that was something which Swami would often show us, that he just allowed himself to be pleased. I don't think we could have ever pleased him with all our small activities. You know, a little child could do a small design on that letter and just write, I love you, and Swami would be so happy with it.
Very true.
And you can't even say that it was a feeling which pleased him. Because I don't know if some of our things were really done with that much feeling to please Swami. It's just that Swami chose to be pleased. Swami chose to give us that incentive so that we can intensify the way we would, you know, whatever we would take up.
Very true. In fact, that's what we say, when Krishna was ready to grant Sushupala and Kamsa and others themselves moksha, how much more eager he would be to come to his devotee. He says that when a devotee, even little bit you pray and pine for me, I am ever ready. He is ever ready. And only thing is he keeps raising the bar. And if you are really going beyond, and he is the one who is happiest.
There's one a person who is doing Bhagavata Parayanam, he says when Prahlada was thrown off the cliff, the Bhagavatam says that Vishnu appears there and, you know, holds Prahlada in his arms. So this Kathakudu, he says, Vishnu does not hold Prahlada like this, where your arms and your chest. It seems Vishnu holds Prahlada by bending and near his ankle.
Oh.
And he says, why does he do that?
Hmm.
To see if Prahlada's faith changes from that distance to this distance.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that is how difficult Taskmaster the God is. And that's for good reason.
That's right.
As you said, it is for raising the bar and it is for taking us from one class to the other. You have to graduate, as Swami would say.
Right.
And there is a wonderful incident of, you know, Abdul Razak Korbu, that book which he's written, Satyasaka Baba Bhagwan.
Yes.
And in that he says, he goes to a doctor who prescribes an eye surgery for him, I think a cataract or something. And he thinks that if I come to Swami, maybe by miraculously he'll cure my ailment. His idea is I can save 8,000 rupees.
Okay.
You know, it was long time. I think that was the amount of money he had to spend for that surgery.
Mm.
And it was a difficult amount for him to manage because he was working as a lecturer and all that.
Mm.
So he comes to Parthi and Swami calls him for an interview. It's a wonderful interview. He's given the transcript of that interview in that book.
Mm.
One of the things which happens is he says, Swami, I need an eye surgery.
Mm.
And straight comes the response from Swami.
Mm.
Swami says, no miracles for devotees.
Oh.
He says, you're an old devotee, you don't need miracles for faith.
Mm.
Swami says, go and get it operated. And then continues with the discussion. And the beautiful thing is, of course, he goes back and he goes to one of the best doctors in the city, gets his eye operated.
Mm.
And for no reason, when he goes to the doctor to pay the bill, the doctor says, no, it's okay, fine. I know you for so many years.
Mm.
So he said, see, I was clamoring for a miracle. Swami didn't do the miracle.
Mm.
But he knew why I wanted the miracle, so that he handled.
Beautiful. Mm. So I think we'll go to the first clip of the next discourse.
Right.
Which says, what is freedom?
Tamara kupai talatalade தாமராக்குப்பை தலத்தலாடே நீட்டி பொட்டுவலே நிலக்கடலே நிதி பிரதுகபிமானப்பு பொரலக்கும் பரா பிரதுகபிமானப்பு பொரல கொம்பரா திகுலு துக்கமுல தெரரா லோகமு திகுலு துக்கமுல தெரரா லோகமு ஹரி கோவிந்த ஹரி கோவிந்த ஹரி கோவிந்த அனரா மந்த
லைக் ஏ டிராப் ஆஃப் வாட்டர் ஆன் த லோட்டஸ் லீஃப் விச் ஷைன்ஸ் ஃபோர் விச் ஸ்பார்க்கிள்ஸ் பட் விச் இஸ் நாட் ஸ்டெடி ஆல் த சேம் லைஃப் இஸ் லைக் தட் which is very unsteady and which is full of attachments, and life is also full of fear, sorrow, and there is a screen which is covering the reality in the world. Hari Govinda, Hari Govinda.
Vidyarthulara, Vidyarthinilara.
Dear students, boys and girls,
ఆధ్యాత్మికం అంటే ఏమిటో, వ్యక్తిగతమైన స్వాతంత్రం అంటే ఏమిటో, ఈ రెండింటి యొక్క యథార్థ స్వరూపాన్ని గుర్తించటం సామాన్య మానవులకు సాధ్యం కాదు.
It is not possible for ordinary individuals to understand the real nature of the spirituality and the individual freedom.
ఈ ఆధ్యాత్మికమనగా కేవలము ఒంటరితనమని కాని ఏకాకి జీవితమని కాని భావించరాదు.
When you say it is spirituality, it doesn't mean that it is something of a solitary life or a lonely life.
Yavat manava jeevitam madhya prema bheejamulu naati.
In the midst of humanity, sowing the seeds,
shanti prasunamulu vikarippa chesi,
awakening patience, perseverance and such great virtues,
pavitra premanu prajalaku andinchatame ee yokka aadhyatmikam yokka antarartham.
Offering sacred love and distributing among the men, that is the true meaning of spirituality.
Indulo pratyekamainatundi yokka divyatvanni manu vicharinchinappudu ikkada aadhyatmikamani kaani vyaktigatamainatundi swatantramani kaani rendu levu.
If you were to just examine this in a divine way and fashion, there is nothing like separate spirituality and individual.
Intavaraku jariginatundi yokka debate kevalam Tibet maadiri untundali anaga hrudayam ante emito vaallu gurtinchi vartinchaledu.
The debate that was carried on was not very fruitful and throwing light.
Swatantram anetundi vedika paina ఒక్కొక్క వ్యక్తి తమ యొక్క భావములను ప్రకటించడమే స్వాతంత్రమని భావించారు.
దే ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ ది ఫీలింగ్ దట్ గివింగ్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్స్ టు వన్స్ ఓన్ ఫీలింగ్స్ ఈజ్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
స్వాతంత్రం అన్నది ఈ జగత్తునందు ఎవ్వరికీ లేదు.
నో వన్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ హ్యాస్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
కానీ రాజకీయంగా స్వాతంత్రమని ఒక పేరు వచ్చింది.
బట్ పొలిటికలీ ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ టు ఒబ్టైన్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
ఈ స్వాతంత్రం అనగా ఏమిటి? విదేశీయుల పరిపాలన నుండి వారిని పంపి స్వదేశీయుల పరిపాలన స్వీకరించటము స్వాతంత్రం అని భావించారు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ దట్ గెటింగ్ రిలీజ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఫారిన్ రూల్ and having our own independent rule is obtaining freedom.
Idi vyaktigatamaina freedom nu kaadu, fundamental swatantramu kaadu.
It is neither individual freedom nor fundamental freedom.
Kevalamu ahankara tattvanni prakatinche nimittamai konni aacharinchinatvanti charyalu maatrame.
All these actions are only an expression of a sense of ego.
Videshiyulu poyina tarvata swadeshiyulu swatantrani pondinam anukunnam, endulo swatantrani pondam.
After the foreigners have left this country, we said that we have got the freedom.
What kevalam swatantram swatantram annanta matram na prayojanam ledu.
By merely mentioning freedom,
aikyatanu sadinchinappude swatantramu prayojanam avutundi.
Only when we get unity, then we can say that we have freedom.
ఐక్యతను సాధించక స్వాతంత్రం స్వాతంత్రం అనుకుంటే ఇది కేవలము పదము యొక్క స్వాతంత్రమే కాని జీవి యొక్క స్వాతంత్రం కాదు.
Without getting unity, if we say we have got freedom, it is freedom only in words, not freedom.
స్వాతంత్రం అనేది హృదయ స్థాయి నుండి ఏర్పడాలి.
Freedom should emerge and emanate from the heart.
హృదయం అంటే ఏమిటి?
వాట్ డూ యూ మీన్ బై హార్ట్?
కేవలం రక్త మాంసముతో కూడినటువంటి యొక్క ఈ గుండెకాయ కాదు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ దిస్ ఫిజికల్ హార్ట్ విచ్ కన్సిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ బ్లడ్ సర్క్యులేషన్ అండ్ మసిల్స్.
హృదయం అనగా ఒక స్థానమునకు కాని, ఒక కాలమునకు కాని, ఒక వ్యక్తికి కాని, ఒక దేశమునకు కాని సంబంధించినటువంటిది కాదు.
వెన్ యూ సే హార్ట్, it is not with reference to a particular state, a particular time, a particular individual or a particular country.
Sarvatra sarvakalamulu yendu kudanu, sarva desamulu yendu kudanu, sarva vyaktulu yendu kudanu samatyanga undeetvanti yokka divya tattvame hrudayam.
Heart is such a divinity and divine principle which is all pervasive and obtained in every place and at all times, in every country. And
ee hrudayamunaku roopamu ledu.
There is no form for this heart.
Kani manavuni yokka dehamulandu దేనిని మనం హృదయముగా భావిస్తున్నామో అది మధ్యలో వచ్చి మధ్యలో పోయేటువంటిది.
వాట్ యు కన్సిడర్ ది ఫిజికల్ హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్ యాజ్ హార్ట్, ఇట్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ ద మిడిల్ అండ్ డిసపియర్స్.
దేనిని గుర్తిస్తే సర్వమును గుర్తించినటువంటి వాడవుతాడో అలాంటి యొక్క దివ్యతత్వాన్ని గుర్తించడమే ఇది నిజమైనటువంటి స్వాతంత్రం.
బై రికగ్నైజింగ్ విచ్ పర్టికులర్ ప్రిన్సిపుల్ వన్ వుడ్ హావ్ రికగ్నైజ్డ్ అండ్ రియలైజ్ ఎవరీ అదర్ ప్రిన్సిపుల్, ఇఫ్ వన్ రియలైజెస్ సచ్ డివినిటీ దెన్ ఓన్లీ వన్.
That was the first clip.
Oh.
You know, wonderfully, Swami puts a lot of things and connects them all together. You know, he talks about political freedom. He spoke about the freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Then he spoke about the relation between unity and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few truths which we wouldn't like to address in that, you know.
Mm.
Otherwise, but Swami was very particular, saying, you know, because... in a sense, we tend to glorify that freedom struggle,
correct,
you know,
correct,
the independence which you've achieved, which was nonetheless important,
mm-hmm,
event for the country. But to have given too much importance to that and not to have realized. And
correct.
Because that is one thing, if you look at the freedom struggle as such,
mm-hmm,
almost all freedom fighters,
okay,
and I don't think... many countries can boast of this,
mm-hmm,
were men of real spiritual wisdom.
Correct.
Because when Swami quotes them, be it the trio Lal Bal Pal, mm-hmm, be it Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose, Mahatma, mm-hmm, Gandhi, of course,
mm-hmm,
they all had a very, very strong moorings in spirituality.
In a sense, Aurobindo.
Aurobindo.
Yes.
And they were very clear that this is important for the spiritual progress of this countrymen. You know,
correct,
they had that idea very clear.
Mm.
In fact, if you read the writings of Bal Gangadhar Tilak,
mm-hmm,
that's what he says.
Mm.
And when somebody asked him, what will you do when you get freedom?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll go back and become a teacher. Because he said, this is, I'm very clear of what the people want.
Mm.
You know, Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose is somebody who ran away to the Himalayas when he was a teenager.
Okay.
And he comes back and joins the freedom struggle. So all of them had that... that spiritual aspirant in them,
mm,
and they also took up the freedom struggle in that as a sadhana in their, as part of their spiritual progress.
Very true, very true. I mean, that possibly they knew what real freedom was,
right?
And keeping that in view, they felt that this is the first step or whatever it is. Because when Swami speaks about Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose also, Swami is really very moved,
right?
And
right.
He gives him so much of importance and sets him as a very high ideal for students,
right,
to emulate. But the beautiful part is he says, true freedom springs from the level of the heart.
Right.
All this freedom is okay. But in a sense, it's right because, you have got freedom from a foreign rule. But we don't have freedom from our own rule right now. We are under our politicians.
Right.
Look at it now. And in that sense, there is no absolute freedom for anybody in any sphere of life. So he says true freedom springs only from the level of the heart. Now, then he goes on to define what is meant by the heart, hridayam.
Right.
So,
but it's a very intriguing thing, you know, why something would be named a heart, you know, why an organ is named a heart.
Mm.
And when most religions and most scriptures refer to something as heart, which is completely different.
Correct.
I think it's only to give it that importance because we know how important a organ the heart is.
Correct. It's a central for life to exist.
Right.
So also I think this awareness or this collective heart that Swami is talking of, the heart that is present in everybody, the hridayam.
Right.
Actually, heart is not the right translation for it.
Right.
Hridayam, as Swami says. Hridayam is one that is present in everybody. And that's amazing because he says that's directly the divine principle that's present in all.
And the wonderful way with which Swami begins the discourse where he says, you know, spirituality is not living in solitude.
Correct.
No, it is in bringing the awareness, the spiritual awareness to as many people as possible and to strive for that.
Correct.
Now, that is a true sign of spirituality.
In fact, when you think of that, automatically what comes to your mind is unity. You know, unity is such a beautiful concept. He says the ultimate unity of seeing God in all is the highest state of existence. But Oftentimes Swami has told India, the only problem we have in our country is lack of unity.
Right.
And how related everything is, because unity in the sense of social life and society as such, but unity in the ultimate sense as well. So he says lack of unity, and here very beautifully he describes and defines what spirituality is. And yes, I think there is a level at which people go and they are able to control their mind in solitude. But I think the fulfillment of that is when they come back to the society and serve. Possibly that's what it is.
Right. In fact, you know, the idea of India itself, and whenever Swami speaks so highly of Bharat, you know, one of the beautiful things is that, you know, here we are, the way we look, the way we eat, the way we dress is so different. And you might go to the cornermost part of the country, let's say Assam or Meghaland. Those people look so different from us.
Correct.
You know, their eating habits are completely different. Their culture is completely unique.
Correct.
But still, there is a sense of brotherhood. There's a sense of, you know, belonging. He said,
Correct.
Yes, you're Indian, I'm Indian.
Correct.
I think that is a message which this geographical unified nation that India is, it stands for.
No, I think that might be there in other countries as well. There is definitely a sense of brotherhood and, you know, comradeship in most countries. But how deep is it rooted in spirituality
right.
is something which is, I think, unique to in Bharat, as Swami
right.
would say. And so the whole question is now, he is redefining what is Hridayam. And he says, true freedom can spring only from the level of the heart. And only in, so we have to understand what exactly freedom is. He is still not led the...
Right, but in fact, you know, even before defining freedom, Swami is using two words. He's saying individual freedom and fundamental freedom.
Okay.
Saying that, you know, forget spiritual freedom. I think fundamental freedom, maybe that is what Swami is referring to, the spiritual aspect of freedom. Forget that fundamental freedom. Even the individual freedom is not there. So this idea that, you know, I'm living in a free country, so I'm living in a democracy, I have the freedom. You know, that also is a qualified freedom.
Correct.
You know, it is not that complete, absolute freedom. I think
Correct.
That is something which Swami will go on to explain.
Possibly. And another concept which Swami has brought out in previous discourses is a concept of Satyam and Ritam.
Right.
See, here I think it's in a way relevant because Satyam, truth is, yes, you are free from foreign rule. But what is, in the ultimate sense of Ritam, what that is what Swami is telling here. The Hridayam and what is actually freedom. And I think in the course of this discourse we will learn that absolute freedom and true freedom, in which means freedom, the word giving meaning to the word freedom, can be achieved only in the ultimate sense of unity, seeing unity in the entire cosmos.
Right.
I think that's what it is.
Hopefully, it sounds simple, but of course, I'm sure Swami will, because I think this is one of the longest discourses also.
Okay,
so,
but you know, just going through the text itself, Swami is giving so many examples,
right.
so many situations and so many beautiful things coming up in this discourse. And let us quickly go to the
right.
next clip.
Because, you know, at the outset you think that where does the concept of freedom come in between all this?
Exactly.
You know, Swami is talking about knowledge, where, as you said, Satyam, Ritam, where does freedom feature in all this? So I think it's going to be an exciting discourse. So we'll go to the next clip.
Sure.
యదా అండాండే తదా బ్రహ్మాండే అన్నారు. అనగా అండాండమనగా వ్యక్తిగతమైనటువంటిది.
వెన్ యు సే అండాండ, ఇట్ రెఫర్స్ టు ద ఇండివిజువల్.
బ్రహ్మాండమనగా సమష్టి స్వరూపము.
బ్రహ్మాండ రెఫర్స్ టు ది కాస్మాస్.
తనను తాను గుర్తించుకున్నటువంటి వ్యక్తి సర్వమును గుర్తించగలడు.
ద వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ రియలైజ్డ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ హ్యాస్ రియలైజ్డ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎల్స్.
అయితే తానంటే ఎవరు?
వెన్ యు సే హీ, హూ ఇస్ ద
ఈనాటి మానవుడు ప్రపంచములో సర్వమును తెలుసుకున్నటకు ప్రయత్నిస్తున్నాడు.
టుడేస్ మ్యాన్ ఈజ్ ట్రైంగ్ టు నో ఎవ్రీథింగ్.
సర్వమును తెలియనని విర్రవీగుతున్నాడు.
హీ ఆల్సో ఫీల్స్ ప్రౌడ్ దట్ హీ నోస్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్.
ఒకవేళ తెలియకపోతే తెలుసుకున్నటకును ప్రయత్నిస్తున్నాడు.
ఇఫ్ హీ డస్ నాట్ నో, he is also making efforts to know.
కానీ మానవుడు తానెవరో, తన తత్వమేమిటో తనం తాను తెలుసుకోనకుండా సర్వమును తెలుసుకున్నట్టుగా ప్రయత్నిస్తున్నాడు.
బట్ మ్యాన్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ట్రైంగ్ టు నో హూ హీ రియలీ ఈజ్, వాట్ హిస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఈజ్. వితౌట్ దిస్ హీ ఈజ్ ట్రైంగ్ టు నో ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎల్స్.
ఉపనిషత్తునందు ఉద్ధారకుడు అనేటువంటి మహాపండితుడు తన కుమారుడైనటువంటి సేతకేతుని విద్యాభ్యాస నిమిత్తమై పంపినాడు ఇంకొక గురువు దగ్గరికి.
ఇన్ ఉపనిషత్ దర్ ఇస్ ఎన్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్ వేర్ ఇన్ ఉద్దాలక సెంట్ హిస్ సన్ శ్వేతకేతు టు అనదర్ మాస్టర్ ఫర్ స్టడీస్.
12 సంవత్సరములు చక్కగా సర్వ విద్యను కూడాను గ్రహించాడు.
హీ స్పెండ్ 12 ఇయర్స్ లర్నింగ్ ఆల్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్.
కానీ అన్నీ తెలిసిన నీ వెర్రవీగి వెర్రివాడై తన దగ్గరకు తన తండ్రి దగ్గరకు వచ్చి, నాన్న నేను సర్వ విద్యను నేర్చినానన్నాడు.
Feeling with a sense of conceit and pride, he came to his father and told him that he has learned everything.
అప్పుడు నాన్న ప్రశ్నించాడు, నాన్న ఏమి తెలిసినా సర్వమును తెలిసినట్టు అవుతుందో దానిని నీవేమైనా చదువుకున్నావా అన్నాడు.
Father questioned him, well child, have you learned that thing by learning which you would have learned everything else?
ఈ యొక్క కుమారుడు శ్వేతకేతుడు కొంత అహంకారం నుంచి క్రింద దిగాడు.
హీ వాజ్ ఎ లిటిల్ హీ బ్రాట్ గాట్ డౌన్ ఫ్రమ్ హిస్ కన్సీట్ అండ్ ఈగో ఎ లిటిల్.
అన్నింటికంటే కూడాను విద్యాహంకారము చాలా వెర్రితనం వేస్తూ ఉంటుంటాడు.
అమంగ్ ఆల్ ద టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్రైడ్ అండ్ వ్యానిటీ, ప్రైడ్ ఆఫ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ హ్యాజ్ ఎ వెరీ హై ప్లేస్.
అప్పుడు లోక జ్ఞానము కంటే ఆత్మజ్ఞానము బ్రహ్మజ్ఞానము అత్యవసరమని ఉద్ధారకుడు తన కుమారుడైన శ్వేతకేతునికి చక్కగా బోధించాడు.
Then he taught his son that without having the general knowledge and common sense, his education is incomplete and useless.
ఒక చిన్న ఉదాహరణ,
వన్ స్మాల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్.
ఎవరైనా మనం చూచినప్పుడు కొత్త వారిని మీరెవరండి అని ప్రశ్నించడానికి పోయినప్పుడు అతను నేనెవరో నాకు తెలియదు అంటే మనం ఏమని భావిస్తాం, అతను ఒక పిచ్చివాడని భావిస్తాం.
యూ కమ్ అక్రాస్ ఎ స్ట్రేంజర్ లెట్ అస్ అస్యూమ్ యూ ఆస్క్ హిమ్ మే ఐ నో హూ యు ఆర్. ఇఫ్ హి టెల్స్ యూ ఐ డు నాట్ నో హూ ఐ ఆమ్, యూ కన్సిడర్ హిమ్ యాజ్ ఎ మ్యాడ్ పర్సన్.
అదే విధముగా నీవెవరో నీకు తెలియనప్పుడు ఇతరమైనటువంటి దానిని తెలుసుకున్నట్టుగా ప్రయత్నించినప్పుడు నీవు కూడా ఆ పిచ్చివాడి కంటే పెద్దవాడు కాదు కదా.
సిమిలర్ ఈజ్ యువర్ కేస్. ఇఫ్ ఎనీవన్ ఆస్క్ యూ హూ యు ఆర్, if you really do not know who you are and if you are trying to find out everyone else, are you not worse than that mad person?
Kanaka motta motta tanam taanu gurtinchukodaniki prayatninchali.
In the first instance therefore everyone has to understand who he is.
Leka daniki jawabu cheppachu, nenu palani ramayyanu ani cheppachu.
One may say that I am such and such ramayya.
Nenu ramayyanu annapudu ramayya deham yokka peru. నేననేటువంటిది ఎవరు?
వెన్ వన్ సేస్ దట్ ఐ ఆమ్ రామయ్య, రామయ్య ఇస్ ద నేమ్ గివన్ టు ద బాడీ, దెన్ హూ ఇస్ దట్
రామయ్య? ప్రత్యేకంగా నేను అనేటువంటిది ఒకటి ఉంటుండాలి కదా అధికంగా.
దెర్ ఈజ్ వన్ ఐ సపరేట్ ఫ్రమ్ రామయ్య, హూ ఇస్ దట్ ఐ?
ఆ యొక్క నేను తత్వాన్ని మాత్రం గుర్తించాలి.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నెసెసరీ టు ఫైండ్ అవుట్ దట్ ఐ ప్రిన్సిపల్.
ఆ నేను అనేటువంటిదే హృదయం,
దట్
ఆ నేను అనేటువంటిదే ఆత్మ, ఆ నేను అనేటువంటిదే బ్రహ్మం.
దట్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ ఐ ఈజ్ హార్ట్, ఆత్మ అండ్ బ్రహ్మం.
ఈ హృదయం అనేటువంటిది సర్వత్రా ఉండినటువంటిది.
దిస్ హార్ట్ ఈజ్ ఫౌండ్ ఎవ్రీవేర్.
ఒక చిన్న ఉదాహరణము,
వన్ స్మాల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్.
ఒక చిత్రకారుడు ఒక కాగితం పైన చక్కగా ఒక నర్తకిని చిత్రించాడు.
వన్ పెయింటర్ పెయింటెడ్ ది ఫిగర్ ఆఫ్ ఎ డాన్సర్ ఆన్ ఎ పీస్ ఆఫ్ పేపర్.
ఇక్కడ కాలు వంగింది, చెయ్యి వంగింది, వ్రేలు వంగింది, అనేక రకములుగా కూడా నృత్యం చేసినట్టుగా తను చిత్రించాడు.
ద పిక్చర్ వాజ్ కాట్ ఇన్ సచ్ ఎ పోస్చర్ దట్ ఇట్ వాజ్ రిప్రజెంటింగ్ డాన్సింగ్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ లింబ్ ఆఫ్ హర్స్ హ్యాండ్.
తల త్రిప్పినట్టుగా కనిపించింది, కాలు వంచినట్టుగా కనిపించింది, చేలు వంచినట్టుగా కనిపించింది, వ్రేళ్లు వంచిన అన్ని వంపులతోనా హెచ్చు తగ్గులతోనా కనిపించింది ఆ చిత్రము.
ఇన్ దట్ పిక్చర్ ఇట్ వాజ్ సో క్లియర్ దట్ ది హెడ్ వాజ్ టర్న్డ్ the hand, movement of hands, the movement of legs, fingers, everything was giving the impression.
దృశ్యానికి హెచ్చు తక్కువలుగా కనిపిస్తుంటుంది, కానీ ఆ కాగితం మనం చివరి చూస్తే ఏ హెచ్చు తక్కువలు లేవు.
When you see the picture there are those ups and downs. But you see the surface of the paper, there is nothing, no difference on the surface.
కొన్ని చిత్రముల లోపల పెద్ద పెద్ద పర్వతాలంతా కూడాను గొప్పగా ఎత్తుగా తగ్గుగా పల్లంగా ఈ విధంగా కనిపిస్తుంటాయి.
In the pictures, some of the mountains will be looking, there will be a lot of ups and downs, modulations, and
kani picture nu manamu aa yokka kaagitamunu anti chusthe andulo e maatram kuda hechu pallam levu.
But you feel that paper with your hand, there is no ups, no downs, it is a clean surface.
Adhe vidhamgane ee hrudayamunandu ఈ జగత్ అనేటువంటిది హెచ్చు పల్లములు, మంచి చెడ్డలు, పాపపుణ్యములు, సత్యాసత్యములు, కష్టసుఖములు, ఈ విధమైనటువంటి వ్యత్యాసం మనకు కనిపిస్తూ ఉండినప్పటికీ హృదయ స్థాయి యందు ఇందులో ఏమాత్రం కూడా భేదములు కనిపించవు.
సిమిలర్ ఇస్ ద కేస్ విత్ హార్ట్. యూ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ సారో, జాయ్ అండ్ ఆల్ డ్యూయాలిటీస్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్. బట్ వెన్ యూ గో టు ది స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ హార్ట్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్, actually there is no such a difference.
అది అంత్యమునకు లేనటువంటిది, మధ్యలో కనిపించినప్పటికీ అది కూడా లేనటువంటిది.
That which doesn't exist in the beginning and at the end, even when it makes its appearance in the middle, truly speaking it doesn't exist.
ఇది ఒక టంబ్లర్ అంటాం.
Here is a tumbler.
దీనికి రూపము ఒక్కటి, నామం ఒక్కటి ఉంటుండాలి.
It has got a name and a form.
ఇది రూపము.
This is the form.
దీనికి తగిన టంబ్లర్ అనేటువంటిది నామం.
టంబ్లర్ ఇస్ ద నేమ్ గివెన్ టు ఇట్.
ఈ రూపమును నామమును తీసివేస్తే ఉండేది ఏమిటి? ఎండి మాత్రమే ఉన్నది.
యూ టేక్ అవుట్ దిస్ నేమ్ అండ్ ఫామ్, వాట్ రిమైన్స్ ఇస్ సిల్వర్.
ఇది టంబ్లర్ కాక పూర్వము వెండే.
బిఫోర్ ఇట్ బికేమ్ టంబ్లర్ ఇట్ వాస్ సిల్వర్.
టంబ్లర్ సమయమునందు ఇది వెండే.
ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ టంబ్లర్ ఆల్సో ఇట్ ఇస్ సిల్వర్.
దీని టంబ్లర్ ను చెడగొట్టి ఒక ముద్దగా చేసినప్పుడు అప్పుడు వెండే.
You reduce it into a mass, it is again silver.
ఇది ఆది అంత్యమునందు వెండిగానే ఉంటున్నది, మధ్యలో వచ్చినటువంటి ఇవే ఈ రూపనామములు.
ఇన్ ది బిగినింగ్ ఇట్ వాస్ సిల్వర్ అండ్ ఇన్ ది ఎండ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సిల్వర్. ఇన్ ద మిడిల్ యూ గాట్ ద నేమ్ అండ్ ఫార్మ్ టంబ్లర్.
కనుకనే దీనిని మిథ్యా జగత్తు అని కూడా పేరు వచ్చింది.
దట్ ఈస్ వై దిస్ పర్టికులర్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ మిథ్యా వరల్డ్.
So that's that second part of that discourse. And Swami starts with that lovely story of Shvetaketu.
Correct.
It is a very, very famous story from the Upanishads.
Mm-hmm.
And I think before that Swami says that the basis of the Brahmanda is actually in the individual itself.
Correct.
And it's easier to look within than to find the truths than to acquire all the knowledge you know, which is outside. So he starts with that and then he goes to that story.
Mm-hmm.
And a wonderful story in that sense, because, you know, here is the father who has the capacity to impart that ultimate knowledge to the son.
Correct.
But he doesn't do that. He says you go and acquire all the knowledge which you think is necessary for your life, which you think is going to give you that, learning.
Correct.
And after he comes back, then he tells him, have you learned that by knowing which you know everything?
In a sense, it's very similar to what Swami says. I have brought you all here to give you the worldly education. It's like giving you the butter. But I'm holding the stick of Atma Vidya behind. Like how Mother Yashoda held the stick behind and held the butter in the front to attract little Krishna. So he says, what I really want to give you is Atma Vidya. What I wanted to give you is knowledge of the Atman. And that is why I have started this institution and university. It's amazing. And, you know, really, as we discussed before, if you go back in 1990 and you are actually sitting in this hall and Swami is talking these concepts, really, how many people would have, you know, contemplated? I hope enough, all of them would have, because some people, as we were discussing earlier, who were there during this series of discourse, you know, for a month or so after the series, they all were, you know, in a state of inspiration, I would say, in a state of spontaneous silence, if you would put it that way.
Right.
Because it was so powerful. I mean, these concepts are so powerful. And it's just like taking the essence of all the Upanishads and giving it to you.
And you know, this very statement, have you known that by knowing which? You know, there's so many forms in which Swami would say this. Swami would say, you've come to me, have you received that by receiving which you have received everything? And Swami would say, instead of that other analogy which Swami would, the Chinnakatha which Swami would say is about a king who opens an exhibition and says anybody can walk in and take anything.
Okay.
And there is this one young lady who comes in and she looks at everything with disinterest and she doesn't pick anything. The king observes her and comes to her and says, you're not picking anything. So she says, no, I don't know what to pick. And then she turns to the king and says, can I have you? And the king is surprised. He says, why do you want me? And she says, I want to pick that by taking which I'll have everything.
Wow.
And you know, the king recognizes the wisdom in her voice. And Swami would say, you've come here, instead of asking every day for something, ask for that by receiving which you will, all your needs will be fulfilled. You will have no more needs, you will, no more wants will be there.
That beautiful statement even Nisargadatta Maharaj says. So they ask, he says, the only way in which you can help a person is to put him in a state beyond the need for help. So, you know, any other help you do to a person, he is going to need your help again.
Right.
So the only state is to put him beyond the need for help.
Right.
Are you able to do that?
Something what even Prabhakar Rao sir shared with us. When he was contemplating on that help ever, hurt never. He was going on thinking, why does Swami say help ever, help ever? Okay, and then it just struck him. He felt that it was help ever to empower.
Okay.
So he said, you should help people in such a way that they can henceforth help themselves.
Correct.
You know, helping them should not make you, make them dependent on you.
Correct. So he then he goes on to this example of his calling Ramayya.
Right.
I am Ramayya. And very nicely Swami always says, body is a water bubble, mind is a mad monkey, I am not the body, I am not the mind, who am I? This is to be a, you know, a continuous phrase which Swami would say. And here Swami is saying, I am Ramayya. But Ramayya is the name given to the body. And who am I?
Right, because you know, I think people who have changed their names during the course of their life, they will be able to relate to it.
Right, very
right?
Correct.
So
correct.
Many people, it's very simple. You just give a
government,
you know, government form is filled, a paper notice is given, and then your name is changed.
Correct.
Okay, till then, who are you? You're Ramayya.
That's
and the next
right.
day, you're not that.
Oh, that was my previous name.
And that's the thing which Swami would often say, you know, when somebody would ask, Swami would ask, who are you? And if he says, I'm a doctor, Swami would say, no, that is your profession, who are you?
Correct.
You know, I'm so-and-so's husband, I'm so-and-so's father, I'm so-and-so's wife. He says, no, that is your relationship, that is, who are you really? It's, you know, I'm reminded of a funny incident which happened. You know, we would have this Gram Seva every year, right? And for the sake of communication and smooth functioning of the thing, we have these mobile operators.
Correct.
Every truck is given a mobile operator and, you know, and he's supposed to communicate where he is, what is his stock situation, or if he's lost.
To the home base.
Right, to the home base which is here in Puttaparthi.
Correct.
You know, there would always be these conversations and a lot of fun used to happen because of the, you know, the misunderstandings which happened. Swami would say, I was talking to one of the boys who were, you know, who used to assist Swami in the interview room. Swami told him that, you know, the mobile phones have complicated communication. Swami said, now people don't know how to communicate because of communication devices. That's a typical example of that. And I remember once one of the trucks, we didn't know where it was. They were wondering where this particular truck is. So they called up this boy and he said, they asked him, where are you situated? So this boy was actually clueless. He didn't know the name of the village. He said, I don't know exactly, but I'm situated next to a huge cinema theater. Okay. And so they realized that this is the town which he was talking to, because not all villages here have a cinema theater. So then they asked, there are two cinema halls in that particular town. So which theater are you next to? And this boy looked around and he said, I'm to the cinema hall which is to the to my right. You know, the idea of wrong references, you know, when Swami just, you know, when Swami is asking, who are you? You are giving a reference of somebody who probably doesn't know who he is.
Correct.
You know, you are referring to yourself as so-and-so's son, so-and-so's daughter. And who is he? and he will be so and so something. So all floating references, and Swami is saying fix that reference, find that thing which will not change. Because if you look at you know, something which is very commonly asked is your dream state. You know, let me say I've given you some money in my dream. I cannot come and ask you for that money in the waking state. And we have kind of accepted that the dream state is unreal because it lasts for a short span of time.
Correct.
And here is Swami saying that even this life which you are doing in a waking state is actually a very, very small time in the continuum of time.
Correct.
So that is why this is also a floating reference. Don't use this.
Passing clouds. You know, to explain the same concept, even Nisargadatta Maharaj beautifully says, he says, it's like on a cloth, very beautiful scenes are painted. It's like painted cloth.
Okay.
On the cloth, you have, here Swami is talking about
the paper, right?
Paper and a painter painting a picture. So I just got this analogy that he gives. He says, you give the cloth to a washerman and he washes the cloth. First, what happens? The top layer of paint goes. Then you further wash it. Then even the shades and all that goes. And what remains is the cloth. But the cloth was always there. Even when you thought that this was a beautiful painting, the cloth was always there. Only thing was it was hidden from the view because of the painting.
Right. In an earlier discourse, Swami says that, you know, when Swami says when you throw your clothes to a dhobi, a washerman, now when it comes back, you say the washerman has made my clothes white. And Swami says, washerman did not make it white, it was always white. The washerman just removes what was not part of it.
That's true. And so he says here, he redefines hridayam.
Right.
He says hridayam is atma, hridayam is the self, and hridayam is one that is present, it is Brahman, it is the one that is all pervasive and omnipresent. And I mean, when you think of the five elements, for example, are they representations or are they physical manifestations of this Supreme Consciousness? Like, these are questions, like when you say I am omnipresent, when Swami says Hridayam is omnipresent, what is there here? It is air that is there, or it is ether that is there. So that is also a part of Him, that is also part of Hridayam. So there is, it's almost like a whole world full of transparent bodies with no meaning to it. The body is easily broken down into five elements. The five elements are, you know, body into organs, organs into cells, and cells into five elements finally. So he says Hridayam is omnipresent. So that is the true definition of Hridayam. And Swami made a statement here saying true freedom springs forth only at that level. So we have to still, I think, explore this discourse to understand how exactly that
right, even that analogy which Swami gives, those two analogies which Swami gives, Swami gives of the tumbler and then of that of a, you know, a painting.
Yes.
You know, where you don't feel the depth. You see the depth, but you don't feel it on the paper.
Correct.
You know, a lovely analogy. But then Swami says it's similarly in the heart also. You know, all the differences you see is outside. If you actually go within your heart, there is no difference. There is no pain, there is no untruth, there is no truth. It's a very, very strong point which Swami is making, but that again, you know, makes us think, what is that Hridayam which Swami is referring to?
See, it's like this, it's like, I think the Swami has spoken of it in both the ways. One is, he says, if you want to qualify as my devotee, you want to be my devotee, you have to be beyond pain and pleasure. You have to be beyond joy and sorrow. And he says, if you know the truth, you will automatically realize that these are not you.
Right.
So it actually amounts to the same thing, but the approach is in two different ways. By understanding the ultimate truth, you can contemplate on that and therefore be unaffected by joy and sorrow. Or by gradually, you know, cultivating that approach to going beyond joy and sorrow, you understand what your actual reality is.
And that's the beauty, you know, the way Swami achieves it. I remember when we interviewed one of the old students, he says there was a period of time when he was a student here and he fell sick. I think he got some jaundice or malaria or something like that. And he couldn't come for darshan for a few days. He had lost a lot of weight. He was very weak. So finally, when he was a little better, he came to Mandir. But he was looking very sorry. So he thought he'll come and tell Swami and Swami might give him some prasadam.
Mm-hmm.
So very pathetically he went to Swami and he said, Swami, I'm not feeling well. Mm-hmm. I've not been keeping well. I've not had darshan for so many days.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, oh, not feeling well. Chala santosham, Swami said. Okay, and see the way Swami plays, you know, it needs somebody with that kind of selfless love to achieve some things with such simple words. You know, this boy goes back to the hostel and he's ruminating all these words. Okay, and he says, he shared with us in that interview, he says, when I went back, you know, I was in pain because I was feeling very sick. I was feeling drained out and been through that for a week. But then after this incident, the thinking process which I had was, here I am in pain and my Swami is telling that he is very happy. Okay, and he said, if Swami is so happy, why should I be bothered about this pain?
Beautiful.
Okay, he said, that moment, that, you know, self-sympathy and that feeling of that pain pulling him down just vanished. He said, if Swami is happy about what I'm going through, why should I be worried about it? You know, one thing is to reach that truth and say that this pain and will not touch me. But here is something, you know, just that love for Swami and knowing that here is my Swami, nobody is bothered about my welfare more than this Swami. And if the Swami is not bothered about my pain, then this pain is definitely not worth bothering about.
And, you know, in our casual conversation, you mentioned another thing, which is when somebody is really in pain, if the mind is removed from the object of pain, and the mind is diverted for those few minutes, for those few seconds,
right,
if the mind is totally distracted, you forget that you are in pain. That's true, you know, when you are having pain and you are sitting and somebody knocks the door and then your whole attention is on who is coming in. For those few milliseconds, you forget pain. So basically, pain to the body exists and the more you identify, your mind identifies with that pain and you think that it is your body, then you feel upset about it.
Right. In fact, that is what Swami used to say when Swami would encourage people to do seva. Because Swami would say that when you see others in pain, then the importance you give to your pain will actually reduce.
Okay.
Because you will realize that this is, you know, the pain you're feeling is because you're giving importance to something which is trivial or something which is happening. It may not be trivial, but because you're giving importance to it. And when you see the larger picture, when you see more people in pain, you know, and that's why one of the philosophers says that if you want to succeed in worldly life, you have to look at those who are better than you. And try to strive to reach there. That's okay. For success in business and worldly life.
Okay.
But if you want success in spiritual life, you have to look at those who are below you and be grateful for what you are.
That's right.
You know, that tripti or that that satisfaction and that gratitude, that is so important.
Amazing. And we are in this state now where everything is being redefined. And right from freedom to hridayam. And he very clearly says the heart is not the organ that we call the heart. Hridayam is all pervasive and Hridayam is the Atman. So
I'm reminded of what Swami said, Dr. Jivanandam, you know, one of the very famous doctors in the US who comes and works here in the super speciality. His speciality was heart transplant. He was very good at that. And very jocularly, Swami once looked at him and said, you do heart transplant, I do heart transformation.
Wow.
And he said, I am better than you.
That's right. I mean, so this whole thing of how and what true freedom means and how true freedom can be experienced only at the level of the Hridayam is what we are going to learn about in the next portion of this discourse.
Yes, so I think that will be, that will have to wait till next week. We are already into the next segment. So dear listeners, we take leave of you on behalf of Sai Prakash, on behalf of myself. We offer this humble effort of ours at Swami's Lotus Feet. If you have any thoughts to share with us, if you have any feedback, you can always write to listener@radiosai.org. We hope we are making sense in what we are saying, but we definitely consider this as our humble effort and as our loving offering to our dear Swami. Thank you for being with us. In a short while from now, you'll be joined by Bishu for the last segment of the day. Till we meet next week, that's 7:30 p.m. next Thursday. This is Prem taking your leave. Jai Sainam.